What burdens are associated with the marriage of a Christian and a non-Christian? Well, I mentioned 7 potential problems in such a union, and you may not experience all 7, but if you are in a mixed marriage, you are certain to suffer some of them. As I was driving down a highway which was unfamiliar to me, I saw 2 signs by the roadside. One of them read, "Slick when wet," and the other warned, "Railroad crossing." Now, there were either of 2 attitudes I could have taken toward those warning signs. On the one hand, I could rebel against their warnings and said, "The highway department put up those signs to keep me from enjoying my trip. I will ignore those signs and drive as I prefer." On the other hand, I could reduce my speed and take special precaution, saying, "Those signs were put there for my protection, that I might make my journey safely." Now, which of those 2 would be the wiser response? Those 2 same attitudes are possible as a person approaches Bible warnings and instructions. One could say, "God just said that to keep me from enjoying life to its fullest. I will ignore what God says and live as I please." Or one could say, "God informs me of this because He wants me to live my life on earth to its fullest potential and arrive with joy at my heavenly home." Which would be the wiser response? Well, you read in the Bible of God's warnings against mixed marriage. He says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Now, the warning is that a Christian should not marry a non-Christian. Why did God put that rule in the Bible? Was it for our restriction to keep us from enjoying marriage? Or was it for our protection so we could enjoy marriage the more? Well, if you know Him as a God of love, you know He put the restriction there for our protection and ultimate happiness. Would it be wiser to ignore the warning or to obey it? God wants us to be happy. And since He made us, He knows what it will take to make our lives a joy. And He's given us everything that is necessary for a full and meaningful life. He expects us to use them and enjoy them. And He's given us warnings about those things which will take joy from life. And that's why He said, "Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever." Now, what burdens are associated with the marriage of a Christian and a non-Christian? I mentioned 7 potential problems in such a union. You may not experience all 7, but if you are in a mixed marriage, you are certain to suffer some of them. First, there is an ideological separation. The goals and standards of the Christian and the non-Christian are not the same. One recognizes Jesus as Lord over all of life and seeks to live by His standards. The other does not recognize Jesus at all and lives by other standards. The prophet Amos asked, "Can 2 walk together except they be agreed?" And the obvious answer is, no. Jesus warned, "No man can serve 2 masters." So we might add that no people can serve 2 different masters and live in full unity as God intended for the marriage union. Second, there is an influential deterrent. I do not know how many times I have counseled with a person whose problem was something like this. He or she, talking about the marriage partner, wants me to go to places and do things where I feel uncomfortable. I do not enjoy that type of music and the people we associate with there. And yet if I don't go, he or she will go without me, and I'm afraid of what might develop from that. The truth is, there is a downward pull by the non-Christian mate, and that is as natural as breathing. The spirit of the Christian is looking upward, conscious of God. The spirit of the non-Christian is looking downward or outward, conscious of the world. And neither can change the direction of the spirit. Only God can do that. And He will change it only when the non-Christian becomes a Christian. Third, there is a spiritual burden. The Bible identifies all people in one of 2 classes. On the one hand, the saved are the children of God, and on the other hand, the unsaved are the children of the devil. For you, as a Christian, child of God, to love and to live with a non-Christian who's a child of the devil creates a burden beyond description. You know that your partner in marriage is not saved. You would know that you live in fellowship with God and he or she does not. And you would know that you're going to heaven and your mate is not. And that puts a strain on your marriage every day you live. See, it's no wonder God warns against entering a mixed marriage. 4, there is a psychological separation. It is natural that you turn to your mate to discuss issues of concern. But when you look to him or her for counsel in spiritual matters, that counsel is not available. The non-Christian can only see things from a non-Christian perspective. Now, he or she can give secular counsel, but that is not spiritual counsel, and you know it. So you feel a little cheated that there are some areas of life you cannot share with the person with whom you are most intimately united. What a tragic way to live through your adult life. And what does that do to the counsel given to children you're rearing in your home? Be warned. 5, there is a social separation. Unless you are careful, you may become jealous of Christian friends who have devoted Christian partners, and their lives may seem so much better than your own. You may find yourself sometimes making excuses why your non-Christian mate does not share in things which are of interest to Christians. You may be tempted to drop out of attendance at church because many affairs involve couples and you are single since your mate does not participate in Christian events. But even so, be assured that you are welcomed in a Christian group. 6, there is a mental problem. You look at your friends who have a Christian mate and fantasize on your problems versus the blessings of a true Christian marriage. And that can open the door to all kinds of imaginings and may even lead you into sin. Guard your thoughts in that area. 7, there is a personal problem. You may feel superior to your non-Christian partner. Of course, such a spirit is directly from the devil, but you are susceptible to it. Anytime you begin to look down on the person with whom God has made you one flesh, you are in danger of a grave spiritual sin. You are what you are by the grace of God, and your marriage partner can be saved by the grace of that same God. So let your relationship with God humble your heart rather than fill you with pride. Now, in this study, I've mentioned 7 burdens which are built into a mixed marriage, but I would not have you depressed over them if you're in such a marriage relationship now. I offer these further ideas. 1, do not consider divorce simply because your mate is not a Christian. God says that if he or she is willing to live with you, you are not to initiate divorce. On the contrary, your faith in Christ will be the strongest possible influence toward leading your mate to God. 2, resolve before God that you will lead your partner to personal faith in Christ. You can live such a Christian testimony that one who will not listen to words can come to Christ by your example, and you can have no greater goal in life than that. Father, some of us have erred in making a marriage commitment to a person who does not share our trust in you. Give grace, we pray, that such a disunity will be overcome as husbands and wives are joined in Christian faith. For Jesus' sake, amen.